SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Time Decisions. I'm the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, along with Gabe Morenci. We'll see what happens with Gabe's audio there. Welcome to the show. We got to break it down today. We got lots of playoffs in the books. We got five NHL hockey games tonight, five playoff games, five King Kong Bundy style, and we have two NBA games as well. Joining us on the show, our old buddy Carmine Bianco. We'll see what Carmine's having for dinner, and we'll see who he likes on the ice tonight. But crazy stuff going on. Hey, what can you say? Wild weekend of sports. We have a lot of underdogs winning in the NBA. And Phil Mickelson, the oldest golfer to win a major golf tournament. Absolutely insane. And doing it probably in the weirdest fashion on the hardest course. Nobody saw this one coming at the start of the year. 250-1. Phil was, if you bet him, more power to you guys. You guys are better cappers and smarter cappers than all of us, because that was a sensational performance. And on a course almost 8,000 yards long, too. That's another thing that's absolutely fantastic about the win. And it all just kind of came together. Other guys couldn't get it done. You know, everybody, he finished plus one in the final day. Brooks Koepka, a guy that me and Gabe both had money on, everybody, a lot of guys that I know, 45-50-1. He just couldn't get it done, missing 10 putts, some under 5 feet too, 10 or 11 putts under 5 feet, 10 feet. That's not going to get it done for you. That's how you're not going to win a golf tournament. And his short game was some of the worst that I've ever seen, still dealing with that leg problem. But hey, let's give Phil full marks. And I got to be honest with you, I think this win at this course in this tournament is more impressive than the Tiger Woods win at the Masters. So congratulations to Phil, doing it for the old guys, getting it done at 50 years old. And what can you say, man? I wish I had a piece of that ticket at 250-1, but we did not have a piece of that ticket. Congratulations to all who did. And yeah, what can you say about him? Set for life now. Already won on every tour, senior tour, regular tour, this tour, 50 years old tour, old guy tour. So yeah, Phil Mickelson. And what can you say, Tiger? You're sitting there getting ready and Phil's getting it done with those aviator glasses, looking young and spry. And absolutely fantastic. So good on Phil for getting it done there. And that was a fantastic golf tournament. That was a fantastic golf tournament for everybody that watched it there. It was just really surprising, though, to see everybody implode. And he didn't really play his best golf. Winning a golf tournament at one over for the day, you're thinking Koepka could have been there. Louis, Jordan Spieth was there for a while. He couldn't make a move. So I have absolutely no idea how Lefty did it. And that final shot on 18 was absolutely just stiffing it and getting it done. Congratulations to Phil Mickelson. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Carmine Bianco, as I mentioned, we'll talk pucks. We got a crazy, crazy night of action in the National Hockey League tonight with five games on the ice. We're going to start things off with a couple games, Pittsburgh and the Islanders. That's at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 Pacific, and the Leafs in Montreal, the game we've all been waiting for at 7 o'clock Eastern. There we'll get things started. And a lot of question marks, too, in net. We'll see who Florida goes to. Because right now they have a goaltending situation. Dredger, he can't get the job done. Bobrovsky basically going to a bank with a balaclava on and stealing money. So tonight I think they're going to Spencer Knight, the young kid from Team America. We'll see if Florida, but three elimination games out of the five on the docket tonight, Gabe.
Yeah, let's rock. We'll welcome our AM radio affiliates in here momentarily. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. I am Gabe Morenci, kicking it with the Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart is the countdown to puck drop. Montreal Canadiens, Toronto Maple Leafs, Islanders, and the Penguins. Carmine Bianco will step up and in. We'll also hit the hardwood as well. Fear the Deer got it done in game one against the Miami Heat, despite the fact that they only hit 5 3-point shots, which is actually a positive signing for the Milwaukee Bucks. Miami hit 23-point shots, guys, in game one and still lost. Milwaukee shot 16% from beyond the arc and still won the game. very interesting. The NBA playoffs have started with a bang, and we got big-time hockey tonight, Cam. I'm fired up for this Montreal Canadiens game against those hated son-of-a-bitch bastard Toronto Maple Leafs. Bring it on. Let's go.
Yeah, those son-of-a-bitch Canadians, too. You can say the same thing about them. It's going to be a fun game tonight. We'll see what happens. Don't like the line for the Leafs. And as for Montreal, why do you play this game, Montreal? Like, it's suspenseful. Let's bring Caulfield up in game three. Oh, Kotkaniemi, we'll put him in game two. Why don't you just start these guys from the start? What are you making them wait for? Anyway, he's ready to go. That'll give the Canadians a boost on the second line. And the Leafs stars look good the last game. They got a lot of penalty calls, too. But I'm expecting a real tight game. Might even put an overtime play in this one, Gabe. I think it's going to be really, really close. We might even see a regulation tie here.
Yeah, I don't. I think this whole Caulfield stuff is overrated a little bit. Kid's played a couple of games in the National Hockey mm-hmm. League. He's not Wayne Gretzky.
No, he's not.
He has to be in the lineup. It's like, you know, the kid's played a couple of games. He's a massive defensive liability. He's a shrimp. He's ultra small. The Leafs have a bunch of big dudes, you know, so we'll see what he brings here tonight. But I'm not, you know what I mean? That's one thing that I'm not all over them with. But I don't understand the line here tonight. I think the line is too high. I think that the Canadians and the Leafs, if you watch this series, you can't tell that one team is supposed to be beating the other team. They're very evenly matched. If you don't know what the odds are in the series, the Leafs don't look like a 3-1 favorite in this series. Now, they put it together the other night. The wheels fell off in the second period. Yeah, let's be real. There were 6 consecutive penalties called on Montreal. Right.
That's like, true.
The NHL, let's put it this way. The NHL got the result they wanted on Saturday, Cam. Right? They got what they wanted. It turned into the game that they wanted, a power play fest for the Leafs. I don't think the Leafs get every call here tonight now that it's back in Montreal. Carmine joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions continues. I am Renzi, kicking it with Cam Stewart. We bring in Carmine Bianco from Wager Talk. We've got a lot of hockey to get to. We've got playoff basketball, 7 playoff games this evening, 5 in the NHL, 2 in the NBA. So let's start off with Carmine Bianco and the New York Islanders and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Carmine, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Good, man. Happy to be here. And it's great. I'm here on a night where I have a Habs fan and a Leafs fan to talk to about this game tonight, because I know you guys are just chomping at the bit for this game, man. I'm loving it. So
gonna be a I am looking tonight, forward to this game.
It's going to be a good one.
You should be. It should be. This Pittsburgh Islanders one, you know, I took the Islanders in the series at the beginning, at the start. They were plus money. I think it was like plus 131 I got them at. 2 games in, it's a 3-game series now. If you like the Islanders, you like the under tonight. The road unders have been profitable with the Islanders all year long. But if you like Pittsburgh, you might as well take the over here, because they're not going to win a 2-1 or 3-2 battle with the Islanders. It's probably going to be a high scoring affair there. Gabe, let me throw this at you. 7 game series. You think this could go 7? You could lock in both teams. I believe at FanDuel, at plus money, if you think this is a 7-game series, the Islanders are like plus 300 and change, and Pittsburgh
I'm
are
not
like
sure
plus 260, plus 280.
I'm not sure
you
it
think
is.
They split these next two?
I sort of – listen, I don't love it. These games are such toss-ups. It really could go either way. But my feeling is in a game that can go either way – you all right, Carmine? Sound like my grandfather. Man, you got the old man like clearing the throat
I
thing going
the mic,
on.
So you wouldn't hear it.
No, it didn't work. No, it didn't work. You missed it. Speaking of which, we start the show, and I guess I had mic issues, although I suspect that I did not. And just during the last break, Matt tells me there might be a button on the microphone that mutes you. Maybe you hit that by accident. I'm thinking, yeah, that's what I did, Matt. I'm going to be nice to you for another couple of more weeks, but no, that's not what happened, Matt. But nevertheless, I think I know what where a button is on a microphone, but good job, Carmine. I like the Islanders tonight. Do I love the Islanders tonight? No. But to me, it's a toss-up. I think there's more pressure on the Penguins. They keep getting eliminated in the first round all the time. I think the Islanders are a little bit of a looser team. And at plus money, I sort of get the feeling, like I said, this is a gut pick. It's a gut pick, Cam. I don't have strong data on this. They're all toss-ups, but my gut instinct tells me the Islanders win tonight.
It's a really tough game. Sorry, Carmine. You hear the guests continue.
No, I said Cam, Carmine.
You guys are killing me.
It starts with a C.
I said Cam. Oh, yeah. He's killing everyone's killing me.
Cam, Carm, it's the same thing.
You're right. All right.
Listen, the pressure is clearly on the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. If this goes back to New York, I'm sorry. If this goes back to New York, 3-2 Islanders, the series is over. It's clearly on them. And I think I talked about it. When Trotz wins a seven-game series, when he wins game one of a seven-game series, he has not lost one yet. He's 4-0 thus far. When he loses game one, he's 0-2. So you've got a small sample size, at least in your favor, with the New York Islanders.
It's a tough one. Game, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, if you don't need to bet, but we bet every game, so we have an opinion on every game. I have a small lean to Pittsburgh, but it's not a real, like, very strong lean. I like the Islanders on the weekend, but this is a game, I think, a must-win game for Pittsburgh. I don't like the juice, and I totally understand where you're coming from. Like, this game should be, in my opinion, Pittsburgh 20 cents. It's inflated. They're very evenly matched teams. You're getting the extra juice due to the home ice. The Islanders really shut these guys down. And over time, they're starting to wear down Pittsburgh. This is just a bet on Pittsburgh at home ice. Crosby and the rest of the gang rallying and winning a very tight game tonight. I think the Islanders win the next one. And then game seven, I'll probably take the Islanders in a game seven situation. But I'm going to ride Pittsburgh tonight. Very small play on the Penguins.
All right. So let's get... Carmine, what's your final pick on this? So what do you do with this game?
I'm leaning under here, right? Because I think the Islanders make this absolutely tough on Pittsburgh tonight. And if I like the Islanders, I'm going to like the under because it's been money all year. Obviously, game one of the playoffs was a high-scoring game, 4-3. Game two in Pittsburgh was more like what the Islanders have done all season long on the road, a 2-1 game. So I'll look to the under here.
All right, so let's get to the Canadiens and the Maple Leafs. And as much as, to be honest, it's a big time series and stuff, but I don't think there's any real hate there. Like, I don't have it, basically. I could try to manufacture it a bit, but it's like, you know what I mean? It's not the same as, like, playing the Bruins to me. Like, the Canadiens and the Bruins, it's like, dear God, just kill the guy. Like, just hurt him, right? Like, it's a little bit different. But with that being stated, the Canadians took the body to the Leafs, which was somewhat surprising in game one. And it actually worked, except the Leafs really responded. You know, we could talk about all the penalties. The Leafs really responded in game two as far as, you know, just being physical. So I would expect the pendulum to swing back tonight, that the Canadians are going to be the ones. They're going to say, all right, listen, let's play a real physical brand of hockey here. But, you know, the penalties were a screw job, and it was just one of those deals. The Leafs were all fired up for Tavares and everything, and everything just snowballed in the second period. I do like Montreal tonight, but to me, the massive key to this game, guys, are the faceoffs. In game one, Montreal won the faceoff battle like 39-31. In game two, it was like 37-19. It was brutal. Like, and if you look at guys, people don't really talk about the faceoffs very much, but if you look at like after the result. Yeah, if you look at the results of the games after, most of the time, the winning team dominated the faceoff circle. It's a big thing. You're starting off with possession. You don't have the puck. You're skating. You're chasing it all the time. And the Canadians, it's a massive difference. I don't know how, if you're the Canadians, you win 39 faceoffs one night and the same guys win 19 the next night, right? So clearly the Leafs raised their level of play in game two. And also to me, if the Canadians win this game tonight, doesn't mean they win the series. Right? We just have a series on our hands. They lose this game tonight, they're in big trouble. Like, to me, this is a massive game for the Montreal Canadiens tonight. Or I guess you could argue they've got a split, and then it puts them at a best of 2 of 3. And quite frankly, I think that's what's going to happen, Carmine. I think we're looking at a split here. And at this price, I've got to take Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens. What are we getting here? Plus 138 right now? It's too high. It's just too high.
It is high. Listen, it is high. It's not a coin flip situation in the game by any means. Toronto should be favored in the game. But while the Leafs did get some favorable calls, or more of the calls go their way in that game too, it was one of those – they were going to bounce back from that game one. That game one, they were coming off 6 days rest, Montreal off of 8 days, but the Leafs hadn't played a real meaningful game in 10 to 14 days. And Keith was managing minutes for his top guys. So when you're not playing the same lineup, you're not playing the same minutes, it kind of screws things up. And that's why that power play didn't look good in game one, looked better in game two. With that said, I actually think this is a bigger game or a must win for Toronto to take a hold of this series, because these teams play tomorrow night. They're likely going to come back with their with their backup goalies, and if it's Allen versus Freddie Anderson, that doesn't look too good for Toronto. Freddie hasn't looked good, and he's been off a while. So advantage goes to Montreal in that one if it's Jake Allen in net as opposed to Freddie Anderson. For the Leafs.
I'm not so sure, though. I've heard a couple of people talk about that, but will they really play a backup goalie? I don't know.
Exactly.
It's the playoffs now. It's the playoffs.
I know that.
It's one day.
I've heard other people say that. But I'm like, no. Yeah, I know. They're not playing backup goalies. It's one day. You're going back to back. All right. We'll hit this on the other side. We'll get Cam fixed.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decision continues. I am Renzi, kicking with Cam Stewart, SiriusXM Channel 204. All right, we've got Carmine Bianco, Wager Talk with us. So we're on to the Leafs game right now. Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens. Toronto Maple Leafs -164. Canadiens +138. The total is 5.5. I'm kind of leaning with the under in this game. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I don't think it turns into a wild affair. Yet 5.5 is kind of tight. Hard to pass up the value, though, in my opinion. The way I look at it is the Canadiens can win one of these two games on their home ice. And if I'm going to get +138 in both games, then I'll take my shot. And who knows? Maybe the Canadiens can win both games on home ice. Who knows? Maybe. Nashville Predators did.
Yeah, they sure did.
What do you think, Cam, about tonight's game?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. Like, the Predators.
Although we don't have 15,000 freaks, though, like they do there. No. You've been there.
Exactly.
They're wild fans. We got no
The catfish party at Bridgestone. Yeah, I've been there. They're a bunch of a guy like taking a leak in a garbage can. Go Preds! Yeah, they get all hosed up on barbecue and bourbon before the game. But I will say this: got to give Nashville credit. You're right, Gabe. Like, if you're going to attack this with no allegiance to any team, you got to think. Look at the price I'm getting with the home team. Montreal in the second game was a little bit snake bitten with penalties. The Leafs also came out of the gate hot, and their star players were good. Unlike Edmonton, these guys stepped up in a game that they needed to, and they played a complete game. And Austin Matthews actually hit people. Should be a tight game tonight. I like the Leafs. It's more of a it's a heart play. I think they are going to win a game, but I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be like a 3-2 overtime game, really, really tight. I think this one might be tied right down the stretch. We could have a crazy, crazy game tonight. The price is too high for Toronto, but I'm taking it because that's part of the fandom. But I think the value is with Montreal in the under.
I'll pick it 3-1. 3-1 Montreal.
I like 3-2 Montreal. Toronto.
See, I like doing the show with a Montreal and a Leafs fan. And you know, the great thing is, I'm going to say it right now, the great thing about supporting a bad team like the Sabres is that you can look at a game like Toronto and Buffalo and Toronto and Montreal, and you have no allegiance to the game. You cap it as a game and nothing else. And I love some of your guys are chirping me in the chat there, and they're like, How's Buffalo doing? If you're a Leaf fan and your benchmark is measuring against the Buffalo Sabres, you need to rethink what it is to be a Leafs fan, because success comes measured against other very good teams, not a bottom dweller. With that said, if you like the Leafs, you can get the Leafs to win tonight and win the series, and it's plus money. It's plus +130, which isn't bad.
I like that.
Because if they win tonight, they're on their way to winning the series, and they're going to be -170 tonight. They'll be -170 tomorrow if they win tonight again. And then if they win that game, they're going to come home and they're going to be +220, +230, believe it or not, if they're up 3-1 in the series, closing it out at home. So getting plus money on the Leafs to win tonight and win the series isn't a bad way to go.
Yeah, I like how you spun the Buffalo Sabres into this somehow. Although I do like the Sabres are long gone. I do like, and you take a pot shot at the Leafs. So it sounds like you prefer the Canadians to win. It sounds like you're taking shots. Yeah. And one thing, too.
Yeah.
I'm not really a Canadiens fan. Like, I'm a bandwagon jumper. I'm just pulling for them in the playoffs. But to be a fan, like, I don't get mad when they lose in a regular season and stuff. Like, I don't really care. So I'm not a diehard fan. Although I'm not really a fan of any NHL team. So when it comes to NHL teams, I am a fan of them, sort of. But I'm not crazy diehard diehard fan like some of these nut jobs are. Out there, and the Canadians have a lot of nut job fans.
They do, and so do the Leafs. You're right. That's like low hanging fruit coming against Carmine and Buffalo, guys. Just lay off Buffalo. Like, settle down.
It's all good.
That's the problem. Leaf fans looking to pick a fight with Buffalo. There's no need.
Even the Seattle team hasn't played a game yet, and they're ranked higher than the Sabres are in the power ranking. So that tells you something.
Kraken. That's good. Get Kraken.
Nice jersey.
Wow.
I like it. Nice jersey. Nice logo.
Nice color. Nice color scheme.
Yeah, that looks like it's like the Trudeau ad. Nice jerseys, though.
Nice jerseys, though. Yeah, it's true.
All right, say on the Leafs, give me the Montreal Canadiens. Give me the Canadian. Hopefully playing all that music and stuff and their little videos and passing the torch will inspire the players a bit. Although, I don't – you know, I've been saying about fans, and look, a good example is, look, yesterday at MSG, you had 15,000 fans. It was a madhouse at Madison Square Garden yesterday. Trae Young still hit a shot at the buzzer.
Exactly.
It doesn't change the outcome, but I think, and I was talking with this with Babano last night, it does seem, Cam and Carmine, that hockey players do feed off of the fans more than other people even. They seem to like the fans' hockey. Big hits and stuff like that. Like, I've heard a lot of players talk about it. Oh, yeah, it's great to have that noise after a big hit. And after they scored, the crowd going crazy. And the players said, oh, like, we hadn't had that rush in a little while. Doesn't mean you're going to win, but it can provide a little. Put it this way. All the teams that are playing in Canada have talked about trying to provide energy. They're like, we're trying to manufacture energy out there. We're trying to manufacture energy. You go to Carolina or Nashville, you don't have to manufacture anything. They're cranking Metallica. They got 15,000 people throwing fish on the ice and stuff. Like, it's a madhouse, right? So if you're a player, you're like, oh, man, right? And it's an empty arena in the Northern Division. It's a different atmosphere, man. Like, it's kind of strange in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's completely different. And we had players going on record leaving the bubble last year. As their teams were eliminated, saying that the atmosphere inside the bubble was absolutely dead. Playing on the ice, it felt like practice in the mornings. So they couldn't get up for it. It was one of those things. So I completely get it.
Strange. If I was a player, I would really give two craps. Whatever.
I agree.
They're playing music anyways. You're focused on the game.
Exactly.
Who cares, Cam? Exactly. Like, I don't understand that.
If you need fans to get you motivated, well, I don't know what you're doing. You're playing in the National Hockey League playoffs. That should be motivation enough. I will say it's really helped Nashville, though, because when Carolina's come back in those games, I've noticed it when in those double overtime games, you're getting tired when you need that little gasp. And look what Nashville, they've been good in the games where they're getting tired winning both double overtime games.
If you want fans, I'll tell you, Montreal, don't worry. There's millions and millions of people watching. And there's a lot of pressure on you. Is that what you want? All right. Now you know. There's people watching. Don't worry about it. Like, there's millions of people watching. So, like, if you guys try to want to create manufacture pressure, but I think even being back home, they play U2 and they're good at the videos and the introduction and all that type of stuff. I think that'll get the Canadians fired up. Although I still maintain it's the stupidest thing ever that they'll have fans for a game six, but just not tonight. What do you care? What's the difference? It's 5 days from now. Like, it's just
exactly like you need them now. This is what I'm talking about. You said it, Marcy. It's like, okay, so what's the difference, government? It's 5 days. Montreal has Toronto there. Wouldn't you want the fans tonight in a 1-1 series? Say the Leafs win tonight. It's like, oh, okay, 2-1. Okay, well, we got to wait three more games, get the fans in there. Anyway, whatever. We're not the
people
government.
Should I think make it
stupid.
The worst part of this is
like thousands of people just go to the game and just walk in and say, hey, where's 20,000? What are you going to do?
How you doing? No, your idea, actually, Gabe, your idea was the best, and it's not rocket science. You give 2,000 tickets to the paramedics and people who are dealing with this stuff, vaccinated people, heroes of the community. You ease them in. Like, how hard is that to figure out? It's actually a great idea, but anyway, no one's listening. No fans. I don't know. Winnipeg has a whiteout wearing blue jerseys, and they still find a way to beat the Oilers. So who knows what the hell's happening?
Yeah, those white cardboard cutouts are really loud. They're working out well.
They're working.
The worst part is... You always choked with fans. You're up 3-0. The Winnipeg Jets have never been up 3-0 in a playoff series in their franchise history. Without fans. If I would ban fans for the rest of the playoffs, I'd be like, no. And we're not bringing fans back. Look at the Buffalo Bills. We were cruising along, covering every week. We bring fans back. We barely beat the Colts. We didn't even cover the point spread.
That's true.
Fans can be a distraction. The first game back is a distraction, I think, too. And the Bills even admitted it. They said, oh, yeah, we tried to impress the fans a little bit. We got caught up in it. It was the first time the fans were back. And, you know, you get caught up in it. But anyways, all right. So, I'm taking the Canadians, leading with the under. What do you got, Carmine?
I'm taking the Leafs here. I'm not going to lay that money. I'll take the Leafs. This is going against Cam. I'm taking the Leafs in regulation time.
All right, we get
I'll
it.
I'll take them in 60 minutes.
All right.
The thing is, big deal. Listen, big deal they're allowing fans in for game six. If there is no game six, it's not going to make a difference anyway. So, and Cam wants to bring in like 2,000 of the first responders. I love that idea, but then all of a sudden
it's Gabe's idea.
It's a good idea.
Why wouldn't you? You're going to bring them in anyway. What's the problem here? This is what I don't understand. Like, unless, of course, what are we going to do? Live under a rock for the rest of our lives? Bring the damn people in. Heroes of the community. Anyway, enough. What do you got next, Marenzi? Sick talking about this crap. What game you got next?
Tampa and Florida.
Oh, good. Okay, good stuff. Good stuff.
Give me the Tampa Bay Lightning to finish them off.
Oh, really? Oh, God. I will say this. FanDuel's got a 5.5 up there. That's the best line you're going to find. I'm finding sixes everywhere. I like the over. I can't bet the under in the series. Every game's gone.
FanDuel made it 6.5 now. It's 6.5.
Oh, they did. Holy jeez. Yes, okay.
I agree with you. 5.5 would get to the over.
Oh, I like Florida. Spencer Knight's going to get the start. One more game for the Pussycat Panthers. Tough game. Give me Florida.
Yeah, you just said it. That's right. One more game.
That's really.
You just said it. One more game.
Oh, no. One more after this one. Give me two total, please.
Hang on.
He was right the first time.
Okay, you're pick on me. And then Edmonton and Winnipeg. I don't see how Edmonton bounced back after. Like, I think Edmonton are getting better. More on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game 5 discussion continues. I am Gabriel Morency, kicking it with Carmine Bianco, Cam Stewart, SiriusXM, Channel 204. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. All right, there seems to be a lot of animosity. Not animosity, but there seems to be a tense. You bring the tension, Carmine. I blame you. Although Cam's been tense throughout this playoff series. He doesn't admit it, but I don't know. I think he's fearing losing to the Montreal Canadiens.
A little bit.
So we're...
We're ready to rock.
I've been enjoying the NHL playoffs at least until yesterday, but
I complained about the penalties the other night. I'm calling it the Montreal screw job 2.0 because that's what that was. Six straight penalties called on Montreal, although one of them was their own fault for challenging something that was exactly like the stupidest challenge in the history of hockey. Yeah, yeah. So that's on that. But Leaf fans were telling me, "Oh, you're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. It's not true." And I said, all right, just talk to me next month when the Leafs are in the semifinals against Vegas, and we'll see who gets the calls. And then we'll be, oh, no, I'll say, no, there's no such thing as a conspiracy. It's not true. It's not true. But big game tonight. I'm fired up for this, ready to do it. Give me the Canadians plus 138. And then the Florida Panthers getting desperate. They're putting the kid goalie in here tonight. I truthfully just don't understand the number. I'll start with you, Cam, here. Like, really? You're going to give me the Tampa Bay Lightning at minus 116? I guess it's a team that's dominating every night. Is it a trap
actually,
number?
It's a trap number, in my opinion. I also think, no, 5-on-5, if I've watched every second of this series. Florida dominates them. They just have crap goaltending. Their goaltending sucks. Like, they're throwing at Bobrovsky, who's stealing money from them, and Dredger, he's horrible. Like, they got to put Spencer Knight in there. 5-on-5, the Panthers have been great. They outshoot these guys 10-1. The first shot on net of Tampa Bay goes in. The third shot on net, Tampa Bay goes in. The fourth shot on Tampa Bay, they let in 3 goals and 4 shots their last game. It's like, what are you guys doing with your goaltending situation? Coach Quenneville's a good coach, but they really butchered the situation the way. Hey, if you're going to go, you're going to lose the series anyway, which we do agree on. It feels like a bait line. I'm going to take my chances with Spencer Knight tonight. It's a short price. Florida's actually been good. If they can get any type of goaltending from this kid, I'm confident they win this game.
I think Tampa finishes them off, Carmine. They're the Stanley Cup champions. They know how to close series out. And they also know they're that they want team. To get some rest and rest up, especially while Carolina gets all that they can handle right now from Nashville. I think that even inspires them even more to finish it off. They're like, look, guys, these guys have a best of 2 or 3 left right now. Let's finish this off, kick back, and watch them and get even healthier. I think they're out for blood tonight. I think they finish them off. Who you got, Carmine?
Yeah, listen, I agree with you, both of you guys. First, with Cam, as far as goals.
No,
they've allowed 20,
you cannot agree
goals.
With us both.
Yeah.
One or the other.
As far as the goaltending goes, you got to get Spencer Knight in net. I'm not even sure why they haven't named him as the goalie. He was in the starter's crease yesterday at practice this morning. He was in the starter's crease again. They're waiting till game time. Makes no sense. Put him in net. He's your goalie of the
future.
Did
you say the starter's crease?
The starter's crease, yes. Yeah. The goal crease, the starter's crease, exactly. Not burger crease, the starter's crease.
Starter's crease. All right,
go ahead. You mean he's the first guy off the ice? That's all, yeah, he's first goalie off the ice, right? Okay.
They have a net for the starter. Anyways, with that said,
okay.
You got to get him in there. 31 and a half shots a game is what Tampa is averaging, and they scored 21 goals so far in the 4 games, whether it's Dreider, whether it's Bobrovsky. Neither one's worked out. This is your goalie of the future. Put him in there now. Throw him into the frying pan in game 5. But it's going to be Tampa that wins this ultimately. They're getting the goaltending from Vasilevskiy. That's the difference. But then you got, obviously Kucherov back. They're always a difference in this series. And they have. And maybe there's a little bad blood that spills over that Tampa wants, that slash that happened with Duclair on Kucherov in that third period. A little bad blood. Maybe we see it. They want to end the series and end it tonight. Get a little rest for these guys before they face likely the Canes in the next round. So give me Tampa.
Really? I don't know. Carolina's got to still win some games, but yeah. You like Tampa tonight? Okay. That's just saying. I was wondering who you like in the series. So yeah. Okay.
I said likely face. Likely face.
So you've got one for Toronto. So we're 1-1 with Carmine. I don't know what we're going to do with the next game here. A lot of juice. A lot of juice.
I don't take it personal like you do. Cam takes
I'm not
it personal.
Taking anything personally. I actually am not like taking it
Dave,
personally at all.
It's like if Dave likes what? The picks, oh, yeah, of course you too. So you guys gave
up on
me.
It's part of the show. I couldn't give a rat's ass who's betting on whatever. I worry about my bets. I don't care.
Don't say that. Now we're going to ask Carmine who he likes in the next game.
No, I care. I care Carmine's opinion, but you're going to bet your games. I'm going to bet my games. I'm not. Carmine's not going to change my opinion. It's not going to, maybe with some garlic.
You guys, you guys need that, it said garlic knots. It's 2-1 on garlic knots. You guys need like those little things on your screen there where it's like every, you know, if I side with Gabe, it's like ding, you go up 1 to 2 to 3.
Yeah.
All right, Edmonton Oilers and the Winnipeg Jets. Like this game, wow. So now Leaf fans like this because now they're not, when people say 4-1, you don't think of the Leafs now. You'll think of the Oilers, 4-1, right? So Leaf fans enjoy that the Oilers have taken that mantle. Yet, like really, the Edmonton Oilers are favorites tonight? They're favorites? Like coming less than 24 hours after a heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, franchise-defining loss, they've got to roll back out on the ice again tonight, knowing that they've got to win the next four games. I cannot believe that the Edmonton Oilers are favorites here, Carmine. Like, why would the Edmonton Oilers be favorites?
They have to be the favorites because absent of what happened in that three-minute stretch where they allowed three goals that started with a stupid penalty line, they were the better team. That's the team they were supposed to be.
They're down three games to none.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yes, they are. I absolutely get it. But they're going to look at it. Tippett, first of all, who should have called the timeout after that third goal to settle the team down and tell them, listen, we got 5 minutes left. It's 4-3, and let's roll out some lines and put this game away. And he didn't do it. That's on him as well as the team that that essentially blew that game. You know, I've had egg on my face this whole, so just go against whatever I say here, because I'll tell you, in game one, I didn't bet because I said this series resembles the Columbus-Tampa Bay series of 2 years back where they beat them four straight. They were a live dog, and they're playing the live dog here. I didn't bet game one while I liked Winnipeg. In game two, I came back with Edmonton, and they lost. In game three, I bet Edmonton, and they lost. So I'm coming right back with Edmonton again, which tells you maybe take Winnipeg.
I'm with Carmine. Like, yeah, maybe we're stooges, but I'm on Edmonton too. That stretch, I got to believe for personal pride, they find a way to at least win this game. And if they don't, wow, I don't even know where we start, you know, tearing up this organization. I will take the Edmonton Oilers. They were the better team for a while. It's not all on Mike Smith too. People want to blame Mike Smith. He's not a great goaltender, but their team defense sucked. You said it, Carmine, stupid penalties at stupid times. It's up to McDavid and Draisaitl to take the team on their back. And, you know, you need Zach Cassian to have another good game. I'm on Edmonton, but as you said, Morency, it's very tough. Like, I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't know if they come back and, like, really battle and show pride, or did they just lay another egg, which could happen too. But I'm on Edmonton. I think they win tonight and extend the series.
Gabe, this probably doesn't change your answer, but let me ask you a question, Gabe. If Edmonton had won last night but then lost tonight, and then they go back to Edmonton down 3-1 with two of the next three games at home, do you think they have a chance to win the series?
No. I bet Edmonton in the first game, and I learned my lesson. And I've been out ever since, and I've been on the Jets ever since. And I'll be honest with you. I thought Edmonton was going to win yesterday. I thought they were. Like, I was like, there's no way they don't. And I didn't get the bet in, and I was mad I didn't. And then I evidently was lucky. But, guys, the Oilers are now 2-10 in their last 12 playoff games. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like, not like, oh, it was last night or the night before or whatever. It's just, it's always. Like, it's just, it's who they are.
Yeah.
It's just who they are.
I get it.
They're good.
Yeah, no, I get it.
In their last 12 playoff games.
I just thought I'd toss you that curveball and see if it changed your mind at all. But I get it. I absolutely
I wasn't sure point. If it was a curveball, Carmine. It was probably like a 84-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle.
Yeah. I've thrown those too.
I don't got a curveball. It didn't have movement on it, but he's betting the Jets. Hey, I don't know what the shrink says. The shrink says, like, the Jets probably should win the game if the Oilers, like, losing that way is demoralizing, but do they have any personal pride as a $2 favorite in the series to win a game? Who knows? This game, I'll tell you one thing. If they lose this game, man, I don't even know where to begin, but Eileen Edmonton gave it is like a lot of these things are leap of faith too, not just like bets, because the stats all go against it. But I gotta believe they come out and do something. Like they were winning that. I don't know how they lost that game. It's crazy.
I don't like playing Dr. Fraser Crane. We all do it as handicappers, and this team's thinking that, and they're gonna want this, and we don't know. Mm-hmm. We have no idea what's going on in our heads. But I'm just going on my years of experience of watching these series and games and teams, and that's just, it's devastating. Like, I think if they had 2 days off, they'd be better off. You know what I mean? Like, if they were playing tomorrow, then they can sort of, like, you know, now it's just, even I think when they take the ice tonight, they're going to think, they're going to have flashbacks right away. It's going to be like, oh, my God, I still can't believe what happened.
To play like, devil's advocate, I think them going back early is better so they don't think about how bad they were. They want to go on the ice and get that, start the game. Let's just get it out of our heads.
Yeah,
for 2 days, if they wait, they're going to be thinking about, oh, God, here we go again, down 3-0, the press, nah. More Zoom meetings. Like, they just got to get back on the ice and win this game and extend the series. Like, I don't think they want any more time off.
I don't know. Do they? Maybe they just want to implode and get it over with, right? Maybe they all hate each other internally and think we're done. We're not winning four straight.
I don't know. It was a pretty bad ending. Yep.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Listen, Winnipeg has never been in this. I'll tell you what. Only doesn't happen often. The teams come back down three games. Only four times in NHL history has a team come back from being down three games tonight. And for me, it's not just that they're down. It's like they got swept last year by the Blackhawks, guys. It's just, it's a constant thing. This is a Connor McDavid thing now. Let's be real. We can praise him all we want in the regular season for his 105 points, but, you know, you're 2-10, bro, in your last 12 playoff games. Is it always everyone else's fault? Like, at some point, right? He's saying, oh, we're going to take it one game at a time and all that type of stuff, but I think it's finished tonight, and I also think it's finished in the desert tonight. They're done. Minnesota gets buried in the sand tonight, Carmine. Vegas, finish them off. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. This is a prime example of why you can't take what happens during the regular season and try and apply it to the playoffs. I thought, you know, Minnesota, everyone talked about how Minnesota matched up great against Vegas, was a thorn in their side. And yes, they were during the regular season. But have they been able to step it up and play defensive hockey like Vegas does? Absolutely not. I don't want to talk bad about their centers because they, you know what I mean, they have a good team. You look at the guys like Erickson, Hartman, and Rask. They aren't the type of centers that give the Vegas Golden Knights problems up the middle, and that's a place where Vegas have been vulnerable. The Golden Knights set up and match up well when they can set up in the neutral zone, and they've done it in this series. They're having a Conn Smythe season, or it's Conn Smythe playoffs from Marc-Andre Fleury, and Pierre DeBoer isn't the second coming of Scotty Bowman, but he is making the right adjustments with this team in the playoffs. Vegas ends it tonight. This series is done.
Carmine Bianco. Oh, good stuff, Carmine. God bless you. Sorry to keep you waiting. I know Uber Eats is on its way. God bless you, Carmine. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's do this thing. Let's get into some best bets right now. We talk pucks. Dave Sharapan will step up, and then we'll continue to talk some pucks. We're going to have a lot of in-game action starting at about 10 minutes time with the Islanders and the Penguins, the Maple Leafs, and the Canadiens. So I am on the New York Islanders plus money. I'm on the Montreal Canadiens plus money, and I'm on the Tampa Bay Lightning to win the game. Early games. Little baseball, Cam. I'm going to mix it up, and I've been focused on the hockey. I'm looking forward to these games tonight, but I like to bet against pitchers coming off of a no-hitter. Spencer Turnbull coming off that no-hitter. And, like, why, how and why and what, man? Like, dude, call me literally. I'm Big Timmy, Little Timmy, and every other Timmy, bro. Because I'm falling right into this. You giving me the Cleveland Indians as underdogs against the Detroit Tigers? Plus 124? Yeah. Because threw a no-hitter last time? Come on. Give me the Indians.
It's because of Henkes' last start. Like, he's not a good pitcher, but the Indians on the whole still are better than the Tigers. I'm not laying 30 cents with the Tigers. I'm going to pass on that game. I looked at the Mets. Maybe the Mets early against the Rockies and Gomber, but you got to lay 40 cents. So I'm going to lay off the baseball game. But that's the only reason is, they're giving Turnbull a lot of respect coming off that no-hitter. He's one of the worst pitchers going for Cleveland, but they still have better bats than Detroit. So, yeah, and you're getting a good Cleveland team at plus money in that game. I'm gonna pass on baseball. Just going to take the Leafs and going to take the Penguins. Wish they weren't both favorites, but That's what I'm doing with that early game. And I'm on Florida, small dog against Tampa Bay.
So we're head to head in all three. It'll be fun in the next 2 hours here.
I like that. Carmen was talking before his Uber Eats came, but I do agree. We're on one game. I like Vegas tonight. I guess one game we agree on. I'm not betting Minnesota. No. Yeah, the last game of the night. Yeah, when we're off air. Yeah.
It's the one game we agree on. Vegas. Yeah, we're going. Yeah, correct. All five games. Wow. You was crazy too. Last night I looked at this card and I'm like, yeah, I like all these. Like, it just sort of came naturally. I'm like, yeah, I'll take the Islanders. I'll take Montreal. I'll take Winnipeg. I'll take Tampa. And I'll take Vegas. I can't believe that you come to the table here with four of the five opposite. I would say pay the winners to be yours, but I'd be lying. Right. I can't.
Exactly. I can't. That's true.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single